Good morning, everyone. Give me one second while I get Windows switched around. Okay. I have too many windows open. Let's try. Here we go. Okay. Welcome. Thank you again for joining us this morning as we continue to change and adapt and always trying new things. I apologize that the music's a little bit quieter. Again, we're doing the best we can and ask and that you bear with us, and we give thanks that you bear with us. I want to emphasize that everyone is going to be muted for the most part, so I really want to encourage you to talk, respond with the responses in the worship as if you were here. Even though we're watching it worship today on video and maybe in our pajamas, we still need to come together and participate, for it is through the participation, though it is different, it still is, gives worship more than just a reading of the paper, reading what's on the paper. And if you haven't had a chance, the bulletin for today is online. It's on the website. You can get it there. Everyone in general is going to be muted, but during the very beginning of the sermon, we're going to unmute everybody. I encourage you, I'm going to be asking some questions, would love to have your participation. So just kind of give your own thoughts. You'll know when that time is, we will tell you. I know Jack, we were discussing earlier, he's got an announcement. If you have any other announcements, if you want to type them, there is a chat in Zoom. Again, if you're watching the video later, if you want to message us. Oh, I guess we're on Facebook right now, so that's good. If you type it in the Facebook comments, we'll get that. Again, announcements, joys, and concerns. And as always, you can always email Pastor at GraceUCC as well. So, Jack, if you want to give your announcement.
Thank you. Very quickly, we will be having a special service on May the 10th. We have invited Pastor McDevitt to come and join us and do that service for us. How that service will be conducted is still not quite confirmed, whether it will be using this technology that we're using today or whether we may try to have an alternative service. We'll get word out to you this week through our news net and through our website and phone messages, and also there will be a newsletter coming out this week. After that service, we are going to have a congregational meeting. How exactly that's going to look, we're not quite sure. Again, we'll get that information out to you, but it is necessary that we give you some advance notice that on May the 10th, there will be a congregational meeting after the service, and hopefully we'll get as many in attendance as possible. Hope all are safe and well, and you continue in our prayers. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Jack. Did you want to ask anything about masks?
I was going to put this in the newsletter also, and we'll also be sending out information. When we do restart our services here at Grace, we will try to practice as much social distancing as we can, but also we'll be asking you to wear masks while you're here and participating for that kind of protection. If anyone out there is making masks or know people who are making masks, we would like to have a supply on hand here at the church to hand out to people who come and worship with us. So if anybody is making masks or know of anyone who is, let us know here, email me and or call me, and we will try to have those on hand as people enter the church so we're all safe and protected. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Okay. And with that, if you have a candle by your side, or let us take a deep breath and enter into worship. And
our call to worship. Sing a new song.
Oh, sorry. Okay, now we're ready. A springtime out, shout out to life.
Sing praise to our joyful Easter God,
whose power brings new life out of death.
Immerse doubt and despair in the fountain of new birth.
Find refreshment and strength for a future of hope.
For God has taken ordinary things
and made them extraordinary. Sing a new song.
A new song.
I didn't share that correctly. Let me. Okay. This should have better sound.
form. In a gray dawn, you coax songs of hallelujah. From the tombs of despair we take refuge in, you call us to wake up and work. We praise you for this amazing day. Come, risen Christ, in newness and hope in this Easter season. Amen. Our first scripture reading today comes from Psalm 16, the Mikdam of David. Protect me, God, because I take refuge in you. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have nothing good. Now as for the holy ones in the land, the magnificent ones that I was so happy about, let their suffering increase because they hurried after a different God. I won't participate in their blood offerings. I won't let their names cross my lips. You, Lord, are my portion, my cup. You control my destiny. The property lines have fallen beautifully for me. Yes, I have a lovely home. I will bless the Lord who advises me. Even at night, I am instructed in the depths of my mind. I always put the Lord in front of me. I will not stumble because he is on my right side. That's why my heart celebrates and my mood is joyous. Yes, my whole body will rest in safety because you won't abandon my life to the grave. You won't let your faithful followers see the pit. You teach me the way of life. In your presence is total celebration.
Our second scripture comes from John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 28. Sorry, 31. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors, they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the Spirit saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my fingers in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. But these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing, you will have life in his name. Let's try that again. Got to get used to doing it the way that we get the best sound. Sorry about that. Let's try this again. One of the joys of online worship and worshiping from home is that pets come running through at all times and distract. And we love them, and they are also God's blessed creature, but sometimes they're a little noisy. With that, I am going to ask Jim to unmute everyone. As I said at the beginning, there's a little bit of discussion. I have a couple questions I want to ask people. And all you'll have to do, everybody is unmuted, so you just have to pipe up. Or if you don't want to talk but you want to answer, you can type in the chat. And those who are watching the video later, participate, let us know in the comments and let us know what you think. So the first question for today is, how many of you have heard today's scripture referred to as the Doubting Thomas scripture?
I have.
I have.
Yeah. I guess it might be easier to say who hasn't heard of it as the Doubting.
Somebody's breathing hard right together.
Yeah. Okay. How many of you have heard Thomas referred to as the Doubting Disciple?
I have.
Okay. Yeah. Probably pretty as much, pretty much, as, I mean, in our language, if we're feeling like we lack faith, we're called Doubting Thomas. Don't be a Doubting Thomas. So with that sense, do you tend to think of Doubting Thomas as negative? Like, would you want to be called, oh, you're being a Doubting Thomas?
Not really.
I almost think of him in kind of like the hypothesis and testing the null hypothesis.
Yeah, that's true. I like that. I never thought of it that way before. That's a new one to file away. I'm getting a couple other, I see a chat, no negative, which is fun, only if somebody's saying something that seems untrue, also is in the chat. Which is funny, because I actually have thought of it as negative, but that's kind of how I want to say that's how I was brought up, except my parents are here and in the chat and saying that no, they haven't thought of it as negative. So that's fun. So the last question, so if we'll respond to this one and then I'll have Jim mute everybody again, is, have you ever wondered if Thomas is given the nickname unfairly?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's good. Well, now I'm wondering, now I'm going to have to change my sermon up a little bit as we go. We've got good informed citizens listening. We're good to go. Well, thank you. Jim, go ahead and mute everybody. Wow. If these are new concepts to you, then I hope those that are watching and have heard this for the first time are maybe it's stirred your mind a little bit, and I'm glad that we've had the answers we've had. So thank you for responding, those that have. And the first time I started to study the text for myself, as I was writing the conversation, or writing my first sermon about Doubting Thomas and continuing to write about Doubting Thomas, I realized that I was treating Thomas unfairly, and that sometimes our culture does, when we call him the doubting disciple with a negative impact, if we think he's, if we've associated it with the negative impact. Although, a side note, I do want to say that while doubting, having, as I continue on to talk about how doubt and faith can go hand in hand, I do want to say a side note that doubting women, particularly in cases of sexual abuse and domestic violence, because that we as a society tend to doubt the woman first, that is not good. And in no way am I saying to question that, and that, or that that is a good thing. So a friend of mine brought that to my attention this year, is that so often we say, oh, faith and doubt go hand in hand, and that's good. Faith and doubt go hand in hand, but doubting women is unfortunately all too common. So that's my little soapbox, and I'll step out away from that and back to the text. So as we look at today's text, did you notice the disciples in the first part of the story, they don't recognize Jesus until after they see the physical proof? Our text says that Jesus came and stood among them. He showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced. They need as much proof as Thomas does to recognize Jesus. They've all doubted, and so maybe singling out Thomas as the doubter is unfair. In fact, calling this whole text using the word doubt is an unfair word for the scripture. A better word would be disbelief. Listen to the scripture with doubt replaced. No more disbelief, believe. What is the difference, you ask? Well, doubt has a negative connotation that implies mistrust, where trust was before. It implies a lack of trust, willing to move toward trust. Doubt implies a move from positive feelings and thoughts to negative feelings and thoughts.
Well, my apologies. It looks like Pastor Vanessa dropped off the line. Again, the joys of technology. She should be joining back up here in just a minute. Sorry about that.
Oh. Hi, sorry about that.
Yep, welcome back.
Thank you. My entire home internet decided to stop working. That was fun. So now we're on the cell phone, so shouldn't have any problems again. So I believe I was talking about the difference between doubt and disbelief. Was that about
yes,
where
that's
I...
where you were.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So we've been talking about the difference between doubt and disbelief, and that disbelief gives more of a positive, a move from empty to full. And we know that throughout the Gospel of John, Thomas is portrayed as a loyal follower. There's no reason that he has to not trust Jesus. He's not looking for new trust. He's not looking to question Jesus. Rather, he's looking for assurance. He wants to know that the man who has appeared in the locked room with them is the same man they have been following and watched die on a cross. He needs to literally see to believe and be faithful again, yes. But so much times we focus on the literal need to see, when rather we should be focusing on the fact that Jesus gracefully and graciously fulfills that request. When we hear Jesus say to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe," we tend to think of it as Jesus expressing disappointment in Thomas, as singling him out. But again, as I said before, the first time Jesus appeared, the other disciples also doubted, and Jesus didn't chastise them. So why chastise Thomas? If you read the scripture closely, Jesus didn't. Rather, Jesus initiates a conversation and goes directly to Thomas where he is and tells him to put his finger there. Maybe instead of thinking about Jesus talking to Thomas, Jesus is speaking to us, the future readers of the text, to remind us that we don't have to see the risen Christ to trust the promise of resurrection. By combining this statement with the story of Thomas and the disciples needing to be assured that Jesus really had risen, the Gospel of John is telling us two things. We can ask God to provide proof, or we can trust that the other disciples and Thomas saw and recognized Jesus in a locked room. We can have either of those thoughts. Either way, we gain courage to struggle with and grow our own faith. And either way, God will still love us. Now, in these days, as we are all not maybe necessarily literally locked in a room, we are figuratively locked at home. Maybe we look at Thomas now not as someone bailing on everybody else, but Thomas is the essential worker. Thomas is the one that is going out and getting the food and bringing it back to share. He's the one that's drawn the wrong end of the straw, the shortest straw, so to speak. Again, as I said at Easter, we tend to identify with these texts in a brand new way because of this pandemic. And the text is still speaking to us, though, saying it's okay if we're questioning God in these moments, if we're having doubt and fear, if we just need God to give us one little sign, that's okay. God still loves us. Hope springs anew because we believe in the resurrection. Trusting, when we trust the resurrection, when we trust in Easter that it happens, we're reminded that there is joy after sorrow and relief after pain. The resurrection promises us that. Easter promises us that. Today's scripture adds to that promise, that trust, and says that even when we have moments of questioning and belief, disbelief, we don't lose our faith. And more importantly, we don't lose the presence of God and Jesus. In these moments of pandemic, of sitting and feeling isolated, of wondering, when are we going to get to go out? When are things going to return to normal? When can I have an active life? When do I have to stop wearing a mask? When can we gather again and be church in the sanctuary? God is still with us. God still loves us. So often we focus on Thomas that we forget that Thomas is actually the first one to believe. Thomas is an example in this scripture, just not the one we typically need to do. He's the first one out of all of them that says, I believe you. Except for Mary. Mary said it first. Sorry, that's the whole believe women part. Gonna just slide that in there. And maybe in these moments that we've been experiencing recently, you've wanted your own seeing experience of God or Jesus. You've wanted a sign. And so I want you to take a moment, if you've had this either now or beforehand, and if you haven't, I want to imagine what you might feel. Were you in pain? Were you angry? Were you questioning? Have you ever said a prayer asking specifically, give me a sign, God, to prove that you are here? Have you ever gotten an answer? Moment. When you feel God surrounding you, maybe it's seeing a butterfly take flight. Maybe it's hearing birds. I, as a pastor, am always having questioning moments. It's part of being human, it's part of life. And sometimes I question God and I need proof. I need an answer. Is this what I'm meant to do? Is this where I'm supposed to be? One time when I specifically, very much so, questioned my call to ministry and call to seminary was the end of my first year in seminary. It had been particularly hard as Jared and I were living apart, me in Missouri, him in Oklahoma and New York. We were going months without seeing each other, though we'd only been married for 2 years at that point. On top of that, I had recently had a miscarriage. Classes were getting extremely difficult, and I was losing motivation to complete my work. Maybe you have also felt that or felt those same feelings, maybe not due to those same experiences, but definitely those feelings. I experienced anger, deep sadness, but the whole time I was always questioning, God, what am I doing here? Why am I here? Where are you in this? Much like the disciples tried to cheer Thomas up with good news, and they are. They're trying, hey, this is good news. Forget about whether or not he's still here. He's back. My friends tried to cheer me up and say, you should stay. You're meant to be here. You're great. But I wanted proof. And I was finally given proof that I was in the right place. I had my moment when I started thinking about where else I would go, what else I would do with my life if I wasn't in seminary. I went from a moment of high anxiety and fear and questions as I thought about my different options to a calming presence, telling me to breathe and focus on the joy of staying in seminary. That moment, I saw God. I saw my proof. In that moment, more importantly, I allowed God to come into my life and meet me where I was. I returned to trusting the promise of resurrection and focused instead of on the fear and the doubt, I focused on the hope and love of God. In the midst of fear and anxiety, we can trust the promise that God will get us through this, that this is not the end. The last verses of today's scripture tell us that Jesus went on to do many other signs, but that these two appearances, both to the disciples and to Thomas, are the most important signs for believing. I like to think that by calling these moments the most important, the Gospel of John is reminding us that it's okay for us to question and require proof from God. God will do the work of what God will take us from disbelief to belief. God will meet us in our darkest moments and provide the proof so that we may see God face to face. I hope that this brings you a different view of the story of Thomas, a different view of the scripture, so that we no longer see this scripture as the doubting Thomas scripture or the doubting disciples scripture, and instead see Thomas as someone just like us, full of questions and faith at the same time. That we see Thomas as a reminder to trust the promise of the never-ending presence of God in our lives. May it be so. And now we will let us enter into a moment of prayer. I didn't get any in the chat today. If anyone wants to type in the chat, does anybody else see prayer requests that I may be missing? Not seeing any. As always, we want to lift. Oh, haha. Thank you, Howard. Thanksgiving for spring, definitely. It makes having to stay at home be much more bearable when we can at least get out of our homes. We also, of course, continue to pray for and give thanks for our first responders, those in the medical field, healthcare providers, patients in hospitals and nursing homes who are dealing with their illness and can't even see loved ones. Thank you, Kathy. Yes. We continue to give prayers for our church leaders as we all make some important decisions and continue to experiment with what it means and what it looks like to be church and do church in these next couple days. The Mennonite Memorial Home in Bluffton has been struck particularly hard with the virus there, including 8 deaths. So we lift them up in particular, as well as those who lift up the Marion and Pickaway County, the jails, as it continues to run through there as well. We have joy and sadness at the same time. The beauty of God is that it's not either or, but God is both and. God is doubt and faith at the same time and holds those two together. Now let us enter into a time of prayer. And part of these words come from the Reverend Michelle Torgan. I want to give credit to her. Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Peace floats on the breezes, and peace sails on the calm waters. Peace is heard in the dove's coos and in child's laughter. Today we pray for peace, a peace which transcends the restlessness in our world and fills our souls with hope. Divine architect of peace, the waves of anxiety crash upon us daily. Will we have enough? Will we survive? When will normal return? We are riding the swells of the emotional seas. God of peace, in this great storm of life, calm the waters. In the howling wilderness, settle the gusts. For you are our source of peace, our deliverer of serenity. And so we offer up the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We've now come to the point in our service where normally we would be doing our offering. And I, just because we are not physically gathered, it is still possible, either by mail or Jim has put the link in our Facebook, in the Zoom chat again. And also, I want to encourage you, you can always go to the homepage as well. So on our website, if you just scroll down, there's the give option. You can click on that. And if you're comfortable doing that, that's also a way that you can continue to give. Easter teaches us that the generous love is at the heart of God's work. Joyfully, we are able to give knowing that our gifts will help each other and others beyond to see the blessed miracle of God's creative joy. Even though we worship at a distance from each other, our church ministries continue in various new ways. And therefore, we invite your support on that ongoing ministry and give thanks for those who are able to share and continue to share. And now, let us sing God Be With You Till We Meet Again. One moment, and I'll get the music going. In the bulletin, there's also a link. So if you want to sing this song again, we sang it when we first started gathering online, and now I've brought it back because I was reminded that sometimes that songs develop meaning when we sing them over and over again. And this is one that is particularly meaningful right now and fairly simple that we can get it down so that we're not as focused on the words as we are on the idea of being together as we sing it and reminded that God is always with us. And so our song is God Be With Us Till We Meet Again. And now we give thanks that God is always with us in the fears and the trust. God meets us where we are. God always loves us. God always forgives us. Go in peace. Go in trust. Go in doubt. Go in fear. Go with the knowledge that you are a beloved child of God. Always. Amen.